the least encumbered by historical fact. Some scholars called her the greatest beauty ever to have lived, claiming that simply to have seen her was to have fallen into her thrall. Some called her the true motive force of the domination. A few admitted that their documentaries were really little more than romantic fantasies. Others admitted nothing while demonstrably embellishing. Bowman's had become perpetually bemused while still a student. Back in his attic, he spread his silken chart. His day had not been a complete waste. He had located a previously unknown menhir and had identified the spells it anchored, and he had found the Tel Curry site. That would buy the mutton and beans. He glared at the chart as if pure will might conjure the information he needed. There were two diagrams. The upper was a five-pointed star within a slightly larger circle. Such had been the shape of the Barrowland when newly constructed. The star had stood a fathom above the surrounding terrain, retained by limestone walls. The circle represented the outer bank of a moat, the earth from which had been used to build the barrows, the star, and a pentagon within the star. Today the moat was little more than boggy ground. Bisan's predecessors had been unable to keep up with nature. Within the star, drawn off the points where the arms met, was a pentagon another fathom high. It too had been retained, but the walls had fallen and become overgrown. Central to the pentagon, on a north-south axis, lay the great barrow where the Dominator slept. At the points of his chart star, clockwise from the top, Bowman's had penned the odd numbers from 1 to 9. Accompanying each was a name: Soulcatcher, Shapeshifter, Nightcrawler, Stormbringer, Bone Gnasher. The occupants of the 5 outer barrows had been identified. The 5 inner points were numbered evenly, beginning at the right foot of the arm of the star, pointing northward. At 4 was the Howler, at 8 the Limper. The graves of 3 of the 10 who were taken remained unidentified. "Who's in that damned 6th spot?" Bowman's muttered. He slammed a fist against the table. "Damn it!" 4 years, and he was no closer to that name. The mask concealing that identity was the one remaining substantial barrier. Everything else was plain technical application, a matter of negating ward spells, then of contacting the Great One in the central mound. The Wizards of the White Rose had left volumes bragging about their performances of their art, but not one word of where their victims lay. Such was human nature. Bisand bragged about the fish he caught, the bait he used, and seldom produced the veritable Piscine trophy. Below his star chart, Bowman's had drawn a second, portraying the central mound. It was a rectangle on a north-south axis surrounded by and filled with ranks of symbols. Outside each corner was a representation of a menhir, which, on the Barrowland, was a 12-foot pillar topped by a two-faced owl's head. One face glared inward, the other out. The menhirs formed the corner posts anchoring the first line of spells warding the great barrow. Along the sides were the line posts, little circles representing wooden fetish poles. Most had rotted and fallen, their spells drooping with them. The Eternal Guard had no staff wizard capable of restoring or replacing them. Within the mound proper there were symbols ranked in 3 rectangles of declining size.